This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. There was nothing to be done about Katrina's winds and rain last August, but the floods that transformed the storm into a catastrophe were supposed to be blocked by a defense system of levees and flood walls. Now the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, which designed and built that system, concludes that it was incomplete and inconsistent, a system in name only. The verdict is part of a massive report by the Corps released last week, just as the 2006 Atlantic hurricane season began. The good news is that many of its findings are already in the ground, incorporated into the repairs of the flood defense system. The bad news is that the repaired sections are now the strongest part of the system, and that the New Orleans metropolitan area is still vulnerable to another storm. In the 9-volume report released last week, the Corps accepts much of the blame for the flooding and acknowledges that defects in design and construction were responsible for the majority of the floods. An independent team of engineers from the University of California at Berkeley conducted its own investigation and reached similar conclusions, but went on to raise questions about the competence of the Corps of Engineers and the public safety projects it's built across the country. We'll talk with leaders of the Army Corps report and the Berkeley report this hour. Later in the program, same-sex marriage is on the Talk of the Nation opinion page this week as the Senate opens debate on a constitutional marriage amendment. But first, what went wrong in New Orleans? If you have questions about why the system failed and what's being done to fix it, give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is talk@npr.org. Ed Link was director of the Army Corps of Engineers study on Katrina. He's a senior research engineer at the University of Maryland, and he joins us today from the studios of Maine Public Broadcasting in Portland, Maine. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you. It's very good to be here.
The Corps takes a lot of the blame for the failure of the levee system, but it says, quote, there was no evidence of government or contractor negligence or malfeasance. Some say that's a pretty big leap.
I think if you look at the definitions of those terms, it's pretty clear that the system was pretty much built the way it was designed. There were some mistakes made along the way. And looking backwards now, it's very easy to see those mistakes. But we found no evidence of any deliberate fraud or waste or abuse on the part of any contractors or on the part of any government activity. What we did find was that the system was not designed conservatively enough to deal with a storm the size of Katrina. And I think everyone needs to understand that Katrina was created the largest surge that ever hit the North American continent and the largest waves measured by a NOAA buoy. So it was not a trivial storm. And now that's not an excuse for the system performing the way it did, but there were 50 breaches that occurred, and all but four of those were due to overtopping and erosion that occurred from that overtopping. Now, the breaching was exacerbated by the presence of some materials in the levees that were not resistant to erosion. So that did dramatically increase breaching. There were four foundation failures that occurred prior to water reaching the design level or the level at which the designers expected the eye walls to hold.
Eye walls is a certain kind of construction, yeah.
Yes, it's a vertical concrete wall that's attached to a sheet pile that's driven into the ground. Those walls were not designed conservatively enough to deal with the forces.
Mm-hmm. There were other let me go on. There were other mistakes that were made, including measurements of where the level of the water was. Some were inaccurate when they were first made, and others did not take into account the degree of how quickly the land was subsiding over the course of 35, 40 years.
Yes, the New Orleans area is particularly complex in that regard. There's very rapid and differential subsidence occurring there. What we were able to do in the task force was accelerate work that the National Geodetic Survey and the Corps of Engineers were already starting And we were able to create a new reference and accurately measure the elevations of all of the structures. Mm. We did find very significant subsidence, sometimes up to 3 feet. We found that back in the early days of the system, there were some assumptions made concerning mean sea level and the local geodetic datum that were inaccurate. And that did result in some of the structures being lower than what was expected.
Another set of assumptions involved the kind of storm that might hit. And there was a 1959 definition called an SPH for Standard Project Hurricane. In 1979, the report concludes, the Corps chose to continue to use the 1965 and 1966 original definitions, even when they knew that they were inaccurate. Why?
Well, I can't answer that specifically. I can tell you that the Standard Project Hurricane is an outmoded approach and is no longer used by the Corps or anyone else, for that matter. The Standard Project Hurricane in 1965 was defined to be a 200 or 300-year storm. Today, it wouldn't even be a 100-year storm, and I think that demonstrates how volatile that kind of a measure can be. When the Standard Project Hurricane was upgraded by the National Weather Service in 1979, I think the Corps had the option of redefining the hazard and going back and to Congress and attempting to redefine the entire system, or perhaps to put in place the protection levels that were already authorized, and then tried to deal with the change in the definition of the hazard later. But I really would prefer that you – I think those were the two options. I think I think you need to talk to the Corps specifically about why they chose to go with the original definition.
Let me get back to one of the fundamental conclusions of the report. The system was a system in name only. Parts weren't finished yet. Parts has subsided faster. It's only as strong, the report says, as its weakest part.
Correct. And this system, this hurricane protection system, and there are actually four separate projects in the New Orleans area. But they were originally authorized in 1965 and not scheduled really to be completed until 2015. So this is an enormous span of time. And a hurricane protection system is a series system, which means that and it's only as strong as the weakest part of the system. And if parts of the system are incomplete, not constructed, if parts are lower than other parts, then they become the weakest part of the system. And the overall performance of the system is only as good as that weakest part. Mm. So this is a dilemma. This is part of the problem with our current national business model for how we do these water resources projects. We just simply can't take that many years to create protection. And we can't create partial protection in an environment that requires a uniform level of protection.
Let's bring another voice into the conversation. And by the way, if you'd like to join us, the number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk at npr.org. Raymond Seed headed the levee investigation team, which produced an independent report on the New Orleans levee system. Their work was sponsored in part by the National Science Foundation. He's a professor of civil and environmental engineering at the University of California at Berkeley and joins us from the studio there at the Berkeley campus. Nice to have you with us today as well.
Good morning.
And what's your reaction to the Corps report?
Well, our reaction is tremendously positive. I guess the most important thing to say that it's a heroic report, it's a magnificent statement, and it's the correct and necessary thing to do. So we're absolutely thrilled with the report as it's been issued this last week.
So you think they asked the right questions?
We think they've asked and answered the right questions. There are some differences between the reports still, and those will be resolved in the weeks ahead. But as a first, I guess, salvo and an opening statement, it's a magnificent gesture, and it was very much necessary for the nation.
Mm-hmm. A wake-up call, really.
Truly a wake-up call, and a wake-up call not just for New Orleans, but literally for the entire nation.
And why is that?
Well, the same process that created the levee system in New Orleans also creates levees and dams and maintains their safety across the entire nation. Traveling these past 9 months doing the New Orleans studies, I would routinely end up on an airplane next to someone from Kansas or other exotic locations, and they would ask why we're spending so much trouble trying to keep people in New Orleans safe. And the answer is because this is not a New Orleans issue. It's the whole nation. The least safe city in the whole North America right now is our own capital here in California, Sacramento. Its odds of flooding next week are far higher than those of New Orleans. So this is a national issue, and it isn't just levees, it's dams as well. They have lots of dams in Kansas.
Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. Nicholas. Nicholas is with us from Kalamazoo in Michigan.
Hello. How are you folks today?
Very well, thanks.
Hey. You know, as it is, obviously, hindsight should be 20/20, but it's really only 19/20 or... It could be 40/20 if people would learn from mistakes. And, you know, this stuff obviously isn't going to be resolved overnight. And I really agree with the man from Berkeley. He's got it down. And, you know, there's been the mistakes made in the past, the way they fundamentally designed the town, and those people just weren't doctors at engineering in the past. But now we have got to be doctorates of the engineering and re-engineering of the correct application, because our resources are just stretched way too thin in this country, out defending the entire free world from terror and every other thing that's going on, to be wasting valuable money redoing something that's just going to explode again.
Mm-hmm. Raymond Seed, thank you, Nicholas, for the call. Raymond Seed, let me ask you, well, we just have a few seconds left in this segment, but does your report go on to address some of these questions as to why some of these mistakes were made? As Ed Link was telling us earlier, well, you have to ask the Corps.
It does exactly that. There's two key differences between our report and the recent IPET report. One is we disagree on a few of the mechanisms at some of the key sites, and some of those differences are technical nuances, almost differences of opinion between experts, but they have some important ramifications, especially with regard to some of the fixes necessary in terms of making the system safe. And the other half of the difference is that our study also went into human issues, human factors, organizational issues, politics, funding, all those kinds of things. And what we see is a pattern through the system. The system that created the system was the real basis of the flaws. And we've got to change how our nation builds these systems. As Dr. Link said a few minutes ago, it's too long to spend 50 years to build a system like this.
We're talking about last week's report calling the system of levees around New Orleans incomplete and inconsistent. When we come back, more of your calls, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, our email address, talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. An investigation for the Army Corps of Engineers says New Orleans' hurricane protection system failed during Hurricane Katrina because it was poorly designed and poorly built. It raises new questions about the levees that protect the city and the flood walls and the role of the Corps of Engineers. Our guests are Ed Link, director of the Army Corps of Engineers Study and senior research engineer at the University of Maryland, and Raymond Seed, a professor of civil and environmental engineering at the University of California, Berkeley, who headed an independent investigation. Of course, you're invited to join us as well. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. Ed Link, I wanted to get back to your report. And one of the conclusions that it comes to is that the basis on which the design was made, a component design as opposed to a risk-based design, it should be rethought.
Exactly. And this is not a condemnation of the folks that did the original design because they didn't have a risk-based process to use. In fact, part of our study is developing a prototype risk and reliability analysis for hurricane protection systems. And that part is in peer review right now, and as all of our work has been prior to putting it out. And that will be released very shortly, but it will allow people to see, and planners especially, to see where the greatest vulnerability lies within the bounds of the hurricane protection system. But also it allows you to look at what causes the vulnerability, and that's a unique strength of the risk-based process. And it allows you to understand how to buy down risk, and you can buy it down either on the side of the equation of stronger structures, lower probability of a failure or of flooding, or you can buy it down on the consequence side by removing the exposure to losses. So it's a much more powerful approach. The Corps has moved rapidly in that direction for dam safety type projects, and is moving in that direction now with regard to hurricane protection systems. So I think that's a very positive note that this was made a part of our investigation, and we're part of the repair and rebuilding process, not just a study. We were stood up to influence the repairs, and we're very delighted that the work that we were able to do did influence those repairs, and we feel as you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. Repaired sections are actually the strongest part of the system now.
Mm-hmm. Raymond Seed, though, that doesn't mean the system is fundamentally better than it was. Doesn't mean the system was fundamentally better than it was on August 28th last year.
That's a complicated question. The first half of the answer is yes, the system is fundamentally better than it was. The more important question is it significantly better? And the answer right now, we think, is probably not yet. They're headed in that direction. Fixing the weak link in the chain doesn't necessarily mean the next weak link isn't going to break next time around. And right now, we haven't had the resources necessary to go back and look at second and third weakest links. Mm-hmm. The entire system needs to be reviewed and probably upgraded.
All right, let's get some listeners in. Ted's calling from Blacksburg in Virginia.
Hi, folks. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
I used to live in New Orleans. We did experience a hurricane there or two and in Baton Rouge, but now I'm interested in what the role of the levee board might be or has been and its relationship to the Corps and what their responsibilities and duties are.
At length, there was more than one levee board. In fact, there were several of them.
Okay.
Yes, quite a few. And the levee boards have the responsibility to basically they own and operate the levee systems, except for the mainline levees along the Mississippi River that are owned and operated by the Corps. So the most of these levees and flood walls were designed and built either by the levee boards and their contractors with the Corps, are by the Corps and their contractors. But when these structures are built, they are handed over to the levee boards for maintenance and operations.
And is that, looking down the road, do you think that's a good idea?
I think Dr. Seed's report points out, there have been some significant organizational issues and jurisdictional issues with regard to the management of those of the structures. It's very difficult to operate an integrated system when you have a lot of different people running the system, and mm-hmm. that is a complication that we have to come to grips with.
Let me bring it up before a caller does. Another part of the system that was vital to it and which also failed, not the Army Corps of Engineers' fault necessarily, but the pumps inside of New Orleans, which the report repeatedly says were not designed to operate in a heavy storm.
The pumps are designed as part of the drainage system of New Orleans. They were never designed to operate as part of the hurricane protection system. So that's a lack of redundancy in the system, if you will, that could be corrected if the pumping stations are made more resilient. But right now they really were not intended to operate during hurricanes.
Okay, Ted, thanks.
Could I step in and add
go
a
ahead.
To that?
Go ahead, Raymond Seed.
Yeah, there's another leg to that which Dr. Link is alluding to, and so I wanted to pick up on his cue. The levee boards in New Orleans are an unusual operation in as much as they are separated from the water and sewerage boards who are in charge of the pumping. New Orleans gets flooded from regular rainfall. There's no way to let water simply drain from the city because they're below sea level, so every drop of water that comes in has to be pumped out. In most areas, the pumping group and the levee group work together within a single reclamation district. In New Orleans, they're separate. This is a huge organizational issue because they have different agendas. The guys that pump the water out are more concerned each year about rainfall than they are about hurricanes. And so it's an excellent example of the way the system gets sort of broken up into pieces and balkanized, and differing interests have a hard time pulling together to make a system.
A system,
operate
yeah.
as an integrated overall system, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Ted, thanks very much.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
Let's get, this is Bill. Bill's on the line from Talmadge, Ohio.
Good afternoon, Neil. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
my thought is going back over the last, well, since the 40s, 50s, and 60s, we had a huge number of projects built by the Army Corps. And now that we've got newer science, maybe showing more severe events happening more frequently than we anticipated, similar to what happened in Louisiana, aren't there essentially underbuilt projects all over the country, dams, levees, et cetera? And, you know, Army Corps engineers, they have a budget for their current and future projects, and all of a sudden they get a new forecast that says, gee, 50% of what we built is now inadequate. Congress is in a cost-cutting mood. There's no way they're going to give these guys more money they need to do what they know is right. So they start clipping corners, and it's not really their fault. They're making do with what they have to work with, but Congress isn't going to give them the money. Nobody believes these new weather forecasts anyhow, and I'd appreciate your guest comment on that.
All right. I think Raymond Seed will ask you for that.
That's a very broad issue, and it gets right to the heart of the matter. Our nation has lived now for 70 years on the infrastructure largely created in the 40s, 50s, and 60s by the guys that came home from World War II and the people that had supported them. And we've lived very nicely on that, but we've also let it decay and fray. The Corps of Engineers has also, over the last 30 years, been attrited, which is a new verb for most people. They've been cut back by Congress, and they've also decayed and frayed. And their technical ability to move forward and keep at the cutting edge has been massively constrained. And as you said very nicely, it's not their fault, but it needs to be fixed. Our nation is now at risk. Dams don't just get built and sit there, even if you don't change the weather forecast. Dams decay, levees settle, and they sag, and they crack, and they constantly need attention. In addition, we do tend to keep updating the weather forecasts, and if you buy into global warming and similar, the weather forecasts are only getting worse in this part of the world. So we have a need to be able to update these things, and right now the Corps of Engineers doesn't have the wherewithal to do that. So the biggest thing we need to fix right now is the process, and I think the heart of that is fixing the Corps of Engineers and giving them back the ability to do this work properly.
Ed Link, your report does address that point, that the Corps of Engineers needs to do work to stay at the cutting edge of technology.
Yes, it's hard to remain technically competent if you're not doing technical work. The Corps, as all federal agencies, has been challenged by that over the last couple decades. It has become more and more difficult to do that. There's been a trend towards outsourcing work. Some of the results of that are very positive, and the government is served very well by the contractors that do a lot of this work. But there has to be a critical mass of that effort that goes on inside the federal agencies if we expect them to remain smart buyers and competent at the technologies that they're expecting the contractors to use.
Mm-hmm. Let's turn to Frank. Frank's with us from Charleston, South Carolina. Excuse me. Go ahead, please, Frank.
Yes, sir. I was listening in. Everybody keeps talking about the federal government, the Corps. I feel like a lot of the responsibility should fall back to the states. I mean, they are there and they should oversee it. I should feel like, you know, rather than just saying federal government, that we should look at the states to take some of the responsibility.
Is that a reasonable assumption, do you think, Raymond Seed?
Yes, I do, and in fact, it's a missing piece in Louisiana. The Corps of Engineers in Louisiana is almost like the 800-pound gorilla in a cage. There's no other animal in that cage that's nearly its size, and so that it doesn't get good interaction with locals in terms of peer review and in terms of, I think, informed consent. There's been local obstruction of some very good ideas, but there hasn't been a whole lot of good local input in terms of catching problems and fomenting new ideas. Here in California, it works very differently. The California Department of Water Resources is a similarly massive agency with good capability. They tend to bring their own consulting panels to the table, and so the Corps and California operate on a very even basis out here. Mm-hmm. I think Louisiana needs to invest in some kind of similar system for their own behalf.
Ed Link, at one point in your report, you do say that, you know, raising the levees higher was an option at various points. It was considered at various points, but objections were raised.
There's part of the problem with the business model that I referred to earlier is that it's very very much economics based. And we, in our report, we talk about the benefits of resilience, the ability of a levee or a flood wall, for example, not to catastrophically fail if it's overtopped. But resilience costs money, and local sponsors are responsible for paying 30% of the bill, and the federal government pays 70% of the bill. But the resulting design and construction ends up being a compromise of what people can afford. So when you want to add armoring or harden a structure so that it, if it's over top, that it will not fail, it adds up to dollars, and sometimes that doesn't make it through the process, the decision process, because of those extra dollars. And that's a real barrier to creating system hurricane protection systems that will, in fact, be resilient to the storms that we can't predict yet. Mm. And they will come. They are coming.
Thanks very much, Frank.
Thanks, sir.
We're talking with Ed Link, director of the Army Corps of Engineers Study on Louisiana's Hurricane Protection System, and Raymond Seed, who headed the levee investigation team sponsored in part by the National Science Foundation at the University of California at Berkeley. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. A question now from Ron. Ron calling from Oceanside, California.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My uncle worked for the Army Corps of Engineers on the Mississippi, one of the Mississippi River projects back in the 70s. I remember visiting him, and he had these huge maps on the wall and explained to me about how the erosion of the wetlands, you know, was becoming a problem then because of the, you know, gasoline canals and natural gas canals and all that. I'm interested. I appreciate what the Army Corps is doing, you know, accepting responsibility for the failures of the levees, but you know, I'm wondering if they're going to have any input into protecting the wetlands, you know, the wasting away of the barrier islands and whatnot, and, you know, everything that would normally protect from the storm surge is the reason the water got there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious if they, you know, protecting the levees is one thing, but, you know, if the, all that scoured land is, you know, if there's no projects there, you know, that water's going to be continue to come. Okay. And one more point.
Very quickly, if you would, please.
Yes, I will. The Mississippi River, the water that, you know, goes through there comes, you know, from Minnesota and New York, you know, so it's interesting to hear, a lot of people that get the benefit from the water going through New Orleans say it should be up to the states. Anyway, those are the comments. I wanted to know if the Army Corps had anything to do, any input on the wetlands project.
All right. Well, Minnesota, yes. I'm not sure New York, but anyway.
It comes from New York. It sure does. It drains from part of it from New York.
Not a lot. Anyway, Raymond Seed, the broader question, the issue of the wetlands that extend, were part of the protection system naturally and which have been eroded a great deal.
That's all on the drawing tables right now. There are a number of studies moving forward, several by the Corps and several by Louisiana interests, which is a good mix. It's nice to have multiple opinions. But all those things are very much on the drawing table. We saw very clearly in Katrina the value of the wetlands, the open exposed frontages that caused a lot of the damage in St. Bernard Parish and also New Orleans East came across open ground with no outboard swamp protection, and the wave attack was just ferocious. Mm. So the value of having the wetlands reestablished is pretty clear at this stage, and I think that's part of most people's long-term plans for overall improvement.
Let me ask you another question. Obviously, these reports, both of them, address the situation in New Orleans and Louisiana, where the Army Corps of Engineers designed and built this levee system. There was also massive damage along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. There were no systems designed for that. Raymond Seed, is that something we should be thinking about, too?
It is. We have a need to take a national inventory of risk and begin to address it in a more systematic basis. We're out of balance right now. There's a tremendous political disincentive to what I call prudent investment in prevention. It pervades our medical systems. We spend, I think, it's 17% of our GNP on medical costs. And if we would double the 0.5% we spend on prevention, we could decrease the overall cost by nearly half. It's a national issue. We have all kinds of flavors of risk, and right now we're particularly good at spending money to prevent terrorism. But terrorism hasn't historically been the principal cause of damage or loss of life in North America, and perhaps we need to have a look at the full inventory of risk and begin to allocate our resources more carefully.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure we... there have been a couple of callers, and we're not going to have time to put them on the air. But Raymond Seed, let me ask you another final question. People saying, I live in Napa. I don't trust the Corps now. Is there reason for people who live near other big projects designed by the Army Corps of Engineers to worry now?
Not all of a sudden in the last two or three days, but I think as a matter of policy, nobody should trust anybody. There's a need for local oversight and local interaction and local activism. We have tremendous issues with our Napa levees, but they're not new. They've been issues for the last 30 years. It's only just now people are beginning to realize them. It isn't that the Corps of Engineers has all of a sudden in the last 3 days done something bad up there. It's just that all of a sudden in the last 9 months, California has realized, my gosh, our levees are also Corps engineered and we have similar issues. We have issues that go beyond New Orleans, including the earthquake issue. So we have some real problems out here.
All right. Raymond Seed at the University of California at Berkeley, thanks very much for being with us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Ed Link, who was director of the Army Corps of Engineers Study on the Louisiana Hurricane Protection System, a senior research engineer at the University of Maryland. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Been my pleasure. Thank you.
When we come back from a short break, our regular Monday feature, the opinion page, Jonathan Rauch says, one legacy of the 25-year battle against AIDS is the push for gay marriage. If you have questions about same-sex marriage, we'll have arguments for and against when we come back. 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. This is NPR News.